chapter 6, if you will. John chapter 6. Working our way through John, not rushing it. We went through Mark and just did the parts of Mark that wasn't in Matthew. But Matthew and Mark are very, very similar. Now, there are things that are different, and obviously it comes from a different perspective. Some people want to think that one copied after the other and this and that thing, because they're so similar. Well, if they weren't similar, then they'd say, well, somebody's lying. So, you know, whatever they can do to kind of knock the Bible down a peg, they're going to do it. And so we got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's so much, though, in John that isn't like everything else. Anybody need a worksheet? Just slip your hand up. You got a worksheet? Who wants a worksheet? The one down front here? Okay. Right down in front here we can. It's just a single sheet this time. You know what? You've got to come down that far. Bring me one, too. I didn't actually keep one. I like to keep a track, make sure what I'm saying is actually on your paper. It's supposed to be, but you never know. Sometimes I delete something and it changes the number on it or something. All right, now, John chapter 6, and of course we have, beginning of John chapter 6, we have the feeding of the 5,000. And we talked about the fans and the followers, and of course we talked about how Jesus, you know, was given just a few fishes, a few loaves of bread, and out of that he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people, and somewhere in the mix of all that, it just kept coming, until there was 12 baskets full of bread left over. Kind of like we had it here last week. We had, after the funeral, we had bags and bags of rolls to get rid of. It just seemed like they just came, everything was fine. I mean, well, he just kept giving out, and everybody, in fact, there was 12, and I don't think it was an accident that it was 12 baskets full left for the 12 disciples to handle. I don't think that's an accident. I think he does that on purpose. Our eyes, he knows our eyes are going to naturally put those two together. And so, I don't think that was an accident. Now, because of the wonderful things, of course, remember, he had been healing people of their diseases. And so he went up to the mountain to kind of get away with his disciples. And he hears them marching up the hill here. And here comes 5,000. And by the way, just for your information, in Matthew, it does say that Matthew 14:21, beside women and children. So it was 5,000 men beside women and children. So I knew it was in the gospel, so I thought I'd go look at it just to make sure you don't think I'm telling you something, you know, out of school here. But so it very well may have been 15,000 people coming, marching up over the hill, coming for dinner. But it didn't seem to faze Jesus. He just looks at Philip and says, hey, what are we going to feed this bunch? You know, and he said, well, we don't have enough here to feed this bunch. He said, give me what you got here. Tell them to sit down. I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. So after that, then the people decided that, hey, this is a pretty good guy. Look at verse 14, chapter 6. It says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. This is the Messiah. This is the King. Oh, my soul, he can take care of everybody. He can feed us all. If we don't have any food, he'll take care of us. And that sounds good, except that they were thinking on a physical level. He didn't say, oh, good, he's going to come and save us from our sins and we get straight down. No, he's going to feed our bellies. And if we get sick, he can heal us from our diseases. And if we're lame, he can fix that. So any of our dis-ease, he will get rid of the dis-ease and will thus be easing us. And again, we're going to have an easy lifestyle. We're going to have an easy life. Hey, we start following Jesus, everything's going to go well. He said, now he's told his disciples, you really follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Now, the Lord does take care of you. But we've got to be careful that that's not where we're looking at for all this. Now, verse 15, it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed above 25 or 30 furlongs. Now we're talking about 3 to 4 miles out into the sea. They've been rowing 3 to 4 miles. They see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. I mean, this thing's coming right at us. They see, they didn't necessarily know it was Jesus, but that's who they saw. Jesus was walking on the sea, and they see this thing coming at them. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Now, he wouldn't have to say, "It is I," if they knew who he was. So here's this thing comes walking on the sea, coming right at them. And they get scared. And he says, "No, be not afraid, it is I." Then they willingly, important word, willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And that's as far as we're going to go tonight. And we're going to talk about an evening stroll on the water. An evening stroll on the water. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. You know, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. The word of God is sharp, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing of soul and spirit. It knows the intents of our heart, the thoughts and intents of our heart. But Lord, when the word of God is empowered by the Spirit of God, it does amazing things. And so, Lord, once again, we ask for your Spirit to move in our hearts. Each of us have different needs. Once again, we ask you to meet those needs as you see fit. Lord, help me to be that tool, clean vessel before you to say what you would have be said. Be an encouragement to the folks, and maybe a little rebuke if necessary. We'll use these next few moments in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus healed many and performed miracles on those that were diseased. He and his disciples retreated into the mountain to rest, but a great multitude followed them. And as I said, 5,000 men, maybe up to 15,000, because beside women and children. Matthew 14:21 is that verse. And Jesus sees the need for them to be fed and miraculously feeds them through the hands of his disciples and has 12 baskets of bread left over. John 6:14, we read there, that then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus said, "This is of truth, a prophet that shall come in the world." And when he perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again in the mountain himself alone. Now watch this. If politics can save a nation, then Jesus missed a great opportunity. You see? I mean, everybody was behind him. They were all there because of the Pentecost. So it wasn't only the people of Jerusalem, but we're talking about people all over Israel. So if that's our answer, then he missed a great opportunity because he already had the admiration of the people. Now, God is not going to save our nation in the White House. Now, he may use things in the White House. He may do some work in the White House. But the fact is, he's not going to save our nation in the White House. Now, there are several other aspects of this story that the other Gospels include, such as the fact that the disciples thought Jesus was a spirit at first. This is that they saw him coming at him. The other Gospels say that they thought it was a spirit coming at him. They knew what it was. We also missed like Peter asking to walk on water and then getting out of the boat and seeing the waves and sinking into the water and crying for help and Jesus rescuing him. That's not even included here. Now, why I bring that up is for some reason, John omitted that exciting piece of information as if it would have distracted from what he wanted us to see. If we're not careful, we get lost. I mean, that's a pretty exciting story. But there's some other things he wanted us to see that I think seem kind of run-of-the-mill, but they're not because they're everyday life. We're not asked to walk on water every day, but we are asked to live by faith every day. We are expected to trust him every day. And it's the simple little things that we need to trust him with. And I think that's what he's trying to help us to understand. Now, let me remind you once again You'll see some of the verses are in bold and some of the verses are partly in bold and all this. What's in bold is the part of the scripture that is only in John. So in other words, a lot of this story you're going to see was not in that they didn't really talk about this in the other gospels. But John wanted you to see some things. Like I said, he omitted some things, but he added some things that we didn't have otherwise. Number one, I want you to see something. I don't know. I kind of like this message. It just seems real sweet. Number one, all alone in the night. All alone in the night. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. Now, you don't see it so much here, but in other Gospels, letter B, Jesus basically pushed the disciples into the water. When I say that, the Bible says, both Matthew and Mark says that Jesus constrained them to get into the ship and to go across to the other side. He's still there by himself. Now, I don't know whether he just needed some time alone, and I think that may be part of it, but I also think that he knew what he was going to do here in a little while. So he actually pushed them into the water, if you will. He said, okay, go ahead, get in the boat, and go across. Right? I mean, it's dark. I mean, right. But you guys are fishermen. You fish in the dark all the time. I mean, that's when they fished. So, well, okay. But they get out in the middle of the sea, and they're all alone in the night. Now, they're kind of used to that, so not too bad. Letter C. Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus knew what he was doing. Being the Lord, capital L, capital O, R, D, I didn't put it in capitals, but he's the Lord, he's God, he most likely knew the storm was coming. And he sent them out into the storm unknowingly. I mean, it was unknowing for them. He knew what he was doing. He it's almost like he set them up. He put him in a ship, told him to go across the sea, and the evening would come. It was going to get dark. And the thing is, they say it's about 23 miles from bottom to top. That's a pretty good little trip. Who wants to get in a boat and travel 23 miles on a ship starting at 7 or 8 o'clock at night? Now, they were used to going work at night because that's when the fish would come to the top in the cool of the evening. But the fact is, you don't really, you know, what are we doing? He puts them into the water. He tells them. They say, well, okay. So to some, this may seem like the Lord is just being mean. But underneath it, those that trust the Lord realize, here it is, that the Lord is working on our faith. The Lord is working on our faith. Now, you know what? Let me ask you this. Every once in a while, do you feel like you really thought God wanted you to do something, and you did it? I mean, you got a hold of God and you did it, and it didn't go like you thought it was supposed to go. In fact, sometimes you feel like you're getting out of the pan into the fire. Sometimes you think, well, I would have been just better to stay home. What's the old cartoon? Should have stood in bed, as they say. So they're all alone in the night. Can't see well in the night. My guess, there's been times every single one of us, we've been someplace in our life, some stage, some point, where it just feels like everything's dark and you're all alone. Chances are it was dark enough, unless there was a lot of light coming from the stars and the moon, it was a little hard just to see from one end of that little boat to the other end. Number two, so they're all alone in the night. Two, left alone in the dark. You're tired, it's night. Day's already run, you know, you've been doing. Hey, listen, they just helped feed 15,000 people. Time to go to bed. And he tells them to get in the boat and go to the other side, and they know this is not going to be an easy thing. Maybe if the wind's going the right direction, they can sail, but still you gotta you, You got to steer that thing. You kind of have to muscle the thing across the river, the lake there. But on top of it, it's just plain dark. You don't want to go too fast in the dark. You don't know what you're going to run into. You think you're going the right direction, but you know, you just never know what might come up. Verse 17, it says, letter A, and it was now dark. Shadiness. Shadowy. It means to be difficult to see, difficult to distinguish between things. It was dark, and Jesus was not come to them. It was dark, and he wasn't there. Now, the fact is, he hadn't left them. He knew exactly where they were. He wasn't scared. But we can't see him. And how many times, I mean, listen, we don't get to see Jesus face to face at all. We don't get to see his physical physique, if you will. Sometimes we can't just see his hand doing what we want him to do. And we feel like we're, you know, it's nighttime, you're tired, you're weary, you've lived life, and it's dark on top of you, it's just hard. There were no lights down on the wharf. There was no amusement park at the end of the pier shining lights. You know, they were out in the water, but they can't even say, well, you know, we're down here by Coney Island. There it is, and there's enough lights reflecting off the water. We can see what we're doing. It's not like they were sitting out on the out on the lake waiting for the fireworks to come and having a good old time. They were in the middle of the sea to anybody out there, if anybody had any sense, and there they are out in the dark in the night. It was night. And a storm rose up, which means the clouds probably veiled the moon as well. And the Lord has pushed them into the dark sea on purpose. Now, Jesus had cared for the 5,000 plus fans, given them dinner, made them serve it. And then he sends disciples, followers out into a storm all by themselves. Now, how many times do you feel like the Lord, who can do anything and everything, has left you alone in the dark when you've been serving him? You don't know what to do and you have no one to ask. You're just kind of stuck out in the middle of nowhere. Number three, tossed by the world around us. Tossed by the world around us. Verse 18 says, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed, I stopped right there, we'll come back to it. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Not only was the wind blowing and stirring things up, the winds were blowing, watch me, contrary, blowing against them and what they were intending to accomplish. Now, that's not in this little passage here, but they were rowing and not going along for the ride with the sails during the work because the wind was contrary. Matthew 14:24 and Mark 6:48 includes that little thing. The wind was going the other direction. He says, I want you to go from down here up to Capernaum. Well, that's fine. So we'll just set the sail. But there was, and sometimes you can go kind of against the wind. You know how to use the sail just the right way. But the wind just wasn't cooperating. So they were rowing across. Not only were they rowing across, but the wind was blowing against them. Now, and wait a minute, it says the sea arose with a great wind. Now, what we're not talking about, you know, one of those pretty pictures where the wind's in your hair and you're heading this way and with a big smile. I mean, the wind was blowing. It was a great wind, and so it's blowing the waves up here. And so the guys are rowing their boat, and it's hitting, and then it kind of goes up a wave and kind of floats down again. And you row down here and try to get as far as you can before the wave kind of comes back and gets you again. You know how it is. It's just like a constant thing. So what in the world was he doing? It's dark. It's nighttime. We just fed 15,000 people dinner. And we got to go 20 miles up across this river, across this lake. What in the world was he thinking? Sometimes we feel alone in the dark, and the earth is turning under us and the storms are howling over us and Jesus isn't here. That's how we feel. Number four. They're in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere. Verse 19. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, that's somewhere between 3 and 4 miles out into the sea. The fact is, watch, they didn't know exactly where they were. You say, well, why? I mean, God, he wrote his book. Why did he say 25 or 30? Didn't they know? No. It was dark. They've been rowing. They didn't have a GPS to show their position. They didn't have a laser that they were to shoot off a rock down there to give them the measurement how far they've gone. There was nothing to look at. All they knew was they were out in the middle somewhere with nothing to hang on to. There's a storm. We're trying our best to get across the place, and the wind's going against us. It's dark. We can't see what we're doing. It's nighttime. We're tired. We fed the 15,000, and Jesus isn't here. You tired yet? You know what I'm saying? I'm tired just thinking about it. This was the fourth watch of the night, according to Mark 6:48. That fourth watch is somewhere between 3 a.m. and sunrise. They didn't know exactly what time it was, but it was, I mean, it's the last 3 hours of the night before sunrise. If they started at sundown, he said when it was even, sundown was probably 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3 or 4, somewhere in there. They've been rowing for 6 to 7 hours on the lake. Rowing and rowing, and the wind blows them back. I'm not going to go through it all again. But listen, but they're feeling every inch of this thing. They're in the middle of nowhere. Letter B, watch this. There is no point of reference to even chart a course out of the storm. There's no lighthouse on the side at the banks of the river. So, well, we've gone so far because that's lighthouse number so-and-so. That's the way lighthouses were all the way up the East Coast years ago. They didn't have that. It's dark. It's stormy. They can't see the land. They can't see the stars. They can't see any other ships. There's nothing to cling to. There's no rock, no land, no anchor. We don't have any idea where to start in an attempt to escape the storm. Here we are in the middle of nowhere with nothing to hang on to, with no reference. It's one of those times in life where you say, well, we have questions. He says, you're looking for an answer. He says, I don't even know what questions to ask. I mean, I don't even know where do you start? All I know is everything's an uproar, and I just feel like we're in limbo someplace, and I'm not sure what the next thing's going to happen. I don't even know what questions to ask, even start trying to figure this thing out. Besides, even if we did know where to go, we probably would not be able to get there because we can't make headway against the forces that are opposing us. We've gone 3 or 4 miles out there. It's 20 miles. I think it's 23 miles from top to bottom. No, that's it. That's from length to length. But it was probably 20, 15 miles where it was that they were going. It was a good way. They were coming from the south. Going to the north is longer that way, of course. And Jesus said, I want to see you on the other side. And my soul. We've been rowing for 6 to 7 hours, and we've only made 3 to 4 miles of the 20. Number 5. You ready? The Lord is not bound by any of the circumstances or situations. He's not even bound by the laws of the universe. Don't forget that. Well, nothing could happen. No, nothing in your brain. But His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. We're not dealing with humans with finite possibilities and abilities. We're dealing with God. And God is not bound by the circumstances. He's not bound by the situations. He's not even bound by the laws of nature. Well, this can't happen because I know what goes up must come down. Whatever it is, you fall in the water, you sink, you're dead. You know what I mean? That's the way it works. Doesn't have to. God made the rules. He can change them. He can work around them. Oliver B. Green, let me read the verse. Verse 19. They see Jesus walking on the sea. Now, I'm not sure they know it's Jesus because they thought it was a spirit at first. But there was something coming. But the way they responded to it is not what I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is this. Jesus is walking on the sea. Jesus can do something we can't do. And no, he weren't just close to the side, and he knew where the stones were. It's amazing what the liberal idiots will try to do to discount God's word. You know what? If he didn't do any of the miracles, then he's not God. I don't need him. If your God's so small he can't do miracles, then you don't have much of a God. If he can't do this, then he couldn't have spoke the word and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This is nothing. Oliver B. Green said it was as easy for Jesus to walk on water as it was for him to create the water in the first place. Walking on water is no more difficult for Jesus than walking on land. Progressing through a storm is just a walk in the park for the Lord. Storm doesn't bother him a bit. Number six. Now, it's got a few little things happen here, and we kind of see ourselves in a couple of these things. Sometimes, if we don't really know who the Lord is, the Lord can seem to be a threat rather than a help. He says, "And they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid." Now, like I said, some of the other gospels talk about they think it was a spirit, a ghost. And you don't want to think it's Casper, but we don't know. You don't even remember Casper, the friendly ghost? Anyway, they think it's a good one. Well, they don't know. They haven't seen one. You don't go around seeing one of those things every day. And you would think our society was way, way above that. But you know what? There's still people who are afraid of ghosts. How many times has the Lord begun to do something miraculous and we flinch back? Or even run away because we do not expect it. It doesn't seem probable. Or the thought of something supernatural just puts fear into our hearts. And we kind of, it's almost like we don't want to. If we trust the Lord, He might actually do it. I'm not sure I can handle if He actually did it. Let me say this. I think there's some people who are so accustomed to living life the way they do, as dysfunctional as it may be, they're almost scared to let God change it. Because it's like, well, they changed it. I'm not sure I can handle that. Well, if He can change it, He can help you handle it. Enjoy it. Take it. I really think sometimes folks are just kind of scared to see what it's going to do. Some folks will not trust God to do anything unless they already have it all figured out and understand it. Because to trust Him, well, I don't know, it's kind of scary. Well, if he loves you enough to do it, he loves enough of you to die for you, he's not going to do something to hurt you. Now, I mean, there may be some times you go to the doctor, he loves you, but he may give you a shot, and it may hurt, but he's not doing something to hurt you. You know? It's going to hurt, but it's going to keep you from getting the flu. I don't know whether that works or not. But anyway, it's supposed to. Number seven. Watch this. Sometimes we feel snubbed by the Lord. Watch this. This is not in this passage, but I threw it in here because it's out of Mark there. Sometimes when we realize the Lord is near, he may appear to be walking right past us without offering any help or aid. Mark 6:41 says this, 6:48. And he saw them toiling. Jesus saw them working hard, trying to get that doggone boat across the river. They've only gone 3 to 4 miles. In fact, they don't know because they're stuck in the middle of nowhere. And they've been doing this for about 6 hours. They're not making any time. They got another 9 miles to go. He sees them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, watch, and would have passed them by. I'm not sure. Maybe there's several things he was trying to do, but the storm's going, and they're going, you know, and they're trying to get the sand. It goes up one thing, and then they work real hard to get up, and here comes Jesus. And they're going, what? I mean, it's kind of hard to even picture. He's walking right on by. When that old song, walk on by. Walk on by. Anyway, I don't know what the, maybe it was not a good song. I don't know. I'll ever forget that. Anyway, but he, and there he goes right on by. And they're thinking, hey. Here, take the rope here that we tied to the pier. Just drag us along. You're walking along. Just pull us without it. Do something. I just want to throw that out there. It's not really in this passage, but that one I always just kind of thought was weird. You know, here, just walk on by. Isn't God going to help us? Number eight. Everything was done. Everything was going crazy. But the Lord's not bound by any of the circumstances or even the laws of nature. Number eight. When we have Jesus, we have all we need. When we have Jesus, we have all we need. Well, we got a storm. Yeah, I know we got a storm. Well, the wind is against us. We're working on this thing. I know. We're tired. I know. I think this thing's going to roll over and we're going to all be dead. I know. And Jesus was the one who put us out here. We're just doing what the master told us to do. I know. And then he goes walking on by. Yep. What was he doing? He's giving you the choice to receive him. He said, it is I. Be not afraid. I'll tell you what. But I'll come back to that. Another B. There's nothing to fear when Jesus is near. There's nothing to fear when Jesus is near. Letter C. Jesus just proved that he is our provision by feeding 5,000 plus and emphasizing it to the 12 that he was thinking about them by providing 12 baskets full of the leftovers for them. He was thinking about them. Hey, boys, I know you worked hard. Here's a basket full for you. He was thinking about them individually while he was providing for the masses when he was feeding the 5,000. Letter D, now Jesus proves he is their protection. He proves that he's their protection. The Lord is all we need to cling to. We don't need land when we have the Lord. We don't need the stars to navigate when we have the Lord. We don't need other ships to guide us when we have the Lord. We don't need an anchor when Jesus is our rock and foundation. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You don't have all those there, but let him direct you. Number 9. The Lord does not design the storm to last any longer than necessary. The Lord does not design the storm to last any longer than necessary. Verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, listen. Everything was going crazy. Now, is he going to do this every time? No, he's teaching them a lesson. He's teaching them a lesson, so he's teaching us a lesson. Everything's going crazy, and he's walking on by. Now, I'll be honest with you. Way too many of us have been busy thinking we're serving the Lord, doing what he wants us to do, and we've been rowing for everything we're worth until, and we've already tired and we're burned out and we're not getting anywhere. We don't know where we're going. We don't even know where we are in the process, and we don't have anything to reference ourselves to. And the waves are against us, and we're probably going to all die here. And Jesus is right there. And we don't bother to even address him. I can't tell you, I have to admit this, I don't like admitting this, how many times I've gotten in the middle of something, and I'm working hard, and I'm doing something, I'm rowing for all I'm worth, and I'm trying to figure this out, really haven't got it all figured out, and not sure which way to go. I'm not even not sure what questions to even ask, trying to take care of those issues, and it hits me. He says, anything that's not of faith is sin. I'm over here. Walk with me. Now we know that Peter does. Until he looks back at the storm, and then he has a problem again. And then he says, whoa, 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 save me. And the Lord says, okay. And immediately they were in the boat. Now the Lord says immediately when they got into the boat, then also the storm stopped. Immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. I don't know how. It's kind of like the things I've been talking about on Sunday morning. You're between a rock and a hard place. You say, well, this will never work. And everything's stacked against us. Even the government's against us. And all the people in the town are against us. And we're all dead folks. And this, we can't do anything. And we don't have any recourse to any of us. All we could do is say, hey, is go to the Lord and say, Lord, help us. And, you know, go through the proper channels and see what happens. And God says, oh, okay, well, I'll just flip it over here. Now you're in charge. That's what he did. And we go about our life, we wonder why we're struggling, we're fighting, and we're fuming, and we're working for everything we get. We're sweating up a storm, and we're not getting anywhere. We wonder what's going on. And Jesus has said, hey. And we didn't have enough sense, I'm sorry, we didn't have enough sense to stop and ask him to get in the boat with us. And all of a sudden, when we get him in on the job, it works. Now, I'm not going to tell you how many times my Sunday morning message has worked that way. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've come down on Saturday night. Well, okay. There it is. Lord, let's do it. Now, sometimes you think of, but anyway, now I'm talking about when it's really bad, and that's usually the one that says, that was the one that was for me, Pastor. I'll go out and I have 10 people say, that one was for me, Pastor. And I said, I must have been, because it wasn't for me, because I didn't understand until we got up here and I started preaching. Hey, this is good, pretty. I want to write notes so I can preach it again sometime. You think that's silly? You say, well, you're just going off the cuff. I'm not going off the cuff. I learned the information. I knew the information. I wasn't sure exactly what God wanted to put in there. And then he's like, boom, the light comes on. And all of a sudden we're at the shore and we're having a good time feasting what the Lord has given us. Number 10, if Jesus is there, and he is, any storm can be a walk in the park. Any storm can be a walk in the park. All of the fear was unnecessary. The speculation of the Lord's care for us is unnecessary. I wonder what those guys were thinking. Why in the world did he send us out here? What in the world is he trying to prove? He's trying to prove he's better than us or something? Well, here it goes. Look at that going. Now, let me hang some things together here and we'll be done. Sometimes we feel we're out on our own. No sense of where we are. No sense of where we need to be. No sense of direction. Nothing in life to cling to or anchor ourselves to. Sometimes we feel that the world around us is out to get us. We've been struggling for a long time and seem to have only gotten ourselves further from home. Farther from anything solid and grounded. We've been working all this time and all we did was put ourselves in the middle of the sea where we have less to hang on to. We've been flailing in the darkness and not able to really see what we're even fighting against. It's dark out there. It's not like one of those movies where you see them in the dark but you can see everything. It's like at night when you're trying to get to the bathroom and you break your little toe on the bedpost. That's what it's like. You can't see what's going on. In the meantime, we have a headwind that's blowing us back almost as much as we're getting forward. All this turmoil is just part of an evening stroll for the Lord. We get a glimpse of the Lord, but it almost scares us to think what in the world he's going to do. And when we finally realize that it truly is Jesus, he appears to be passing us by as if he doesn't care that we perish. When we finally and simply receive the Lord into the situation, cry out to him to ride the storm out with us, the Lord calms the storm with only his presence. And when we receive Jesus in our boat, even a stormy night on the raging sea is just an evening stroll on the water. You know, we'll ride a ride in a water park or ride on a roller coaster, and we call it fun. And yet if we were out on the sea and tossed around like that, like it does on a water ride, we'd be scared to death. You know what the difference is? The difference is whether we believe that someone has everything under control and we're going to get where we're supposed to get to, okay or not. So we trust the guy who built that roller coaster. But when our shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, leads us in paths of righteousness and it walks through the valley of the shadow of death, we go bonkers. Do you ever ride over there in Hershey Park, that little ride, it's called the Mouse? Do you ever ride that thing? It runs on the rail, and if you ride that thing, it looks like you're going to go right off the edge. And you go and just go right out to the end there. Woo! You know, and it just takes a turn. Crazy. And we're going, ha, 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 isn't this fun? Janet doesn't think that. Well, Janet doesn't do that. But if most people, oh, this is great. This is fun. It's wonderful. And God takes us on a ride. You know what we're going to say? I wonder what he's going to do next. If you're walking with him. Now, if you haven't been walking with him, then you better watch. You better get back on the track where he is. But if you've been out doing your own thing, I mean, you better watch it. But if you've been, listen, you really have been listening to where the Lord, and I think a lot of folks in here, you know, you said, well, I've been trying my best to follow the Lord. I really have been doing well. And all of a sudden, they've taken me a turn. Listen, something crazy happens. The whole world falls apart. He's about ready to do something. And you can almost get excited and say, I wonder what he's going to do next. I wonder how he's going to get us through this one. But you know what we do? We see it coming, and we jump off the ride. Sometimes fall to our demise. Break a leg. Instead of just saying, let me hang on for the ride. One of these days, we'll get down to the end, and we're going to look back up at that thing and say, he got me through that thing. But there it is. We did that. We did that. You see the next people coming up. Ah! They come down there. Yeah. They turn around. Ah, look what we did. Yeah. You got to stay on the ride. Why do we think the Lord does not have everything under control? A storm in life can be an adventure to look forward to and to see how God is going to get us through this storm. Or a storm in life can be scary and uncertain. We can be excited about it, the ride, or we could dread it. If you get on a roller coaster, don't fight it. People who don't like roller coasters don't want to move. Well, no wonder you don't like it. Get on that thing and you see it coming, get ready to go with it. Ride on that thing. Let her go. Then you'll enjoy it. You'll feel like you're flying. But if you're going to fight it, if you don't think you're going to get to the other end, don't get on it. But if you get on it, you think you're going to get to the other end, so you might as well have a good time while you're doing it. You see what I'm saying? And the Lord promises to get us to the other end. On His timing. On His timing. Which we don't always understand. But she's having a good time looking back at the ride right now. Look what the Lord did. Look where He brought us through. So take an evening stroll in the water with the Lord. Father, thank You for speaking to us here this evening. Thank You for these dear folks. Lord, it's all a matter of perspective. And so many times we take the God factor out of what's going on, and it scares us to death. And really, if you're not in there, it's a scary situation. But You are there. You never left us. We feel like we're all alone. But you know, chances are, Lord was probably following them along the boat right behind them the whole time. He just wasn't there where they could see Him. Lord, pray that You'll help us to live by faith, not by sight, and see You do great and wonderful things. Thank You, Lord. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.